Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. And Dom, I got a surprise.
What?
It's Batman. Matt Rothschild, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's here with me in the world headquarters, Madison Studios. And I think Batman is the only guy more excited about the January 6th hearings than we are, Dom. Batman, welcome back, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me. I snuck in, no security at the front desk.
It's easy to get in and out, Matt. It's not like the Hotel California.
You know, we actually have security locks on the front. Don't tell people it's easy to get in here now. Somebody just left the door open. The riffraff came in. Matt Rothschild, you're doing a party at Hawks, one of our favorite fighter neighborhood bars on State Street. And the occasion's the January 6th. And you guys are all going down there for a little watch party.
Yeah, January 6th watch party. Every listener to this great radio program is invited to come down to Hawks noon this Thursday, 325 State Street, for a watch party on this last final hearing of the January 6th committee. We're going to be demanding accountability.
Oh, I thought you were going to demand drink specials.
No, they're going to have to beg me to pay. No. Accountability for all those Wisconsin accomplices in this criminal conspiracy, in this seditious conspiracy, in this coup attempt. Right on down from Ron Johnson at the top to Bob Spindell, one of the false electors. All 10 of those false electors need to be investigated. I'm wanting Josh Call to investigate all of them, including Ron Johnson, including the 10 false electors, including the 15 Republican legislators who wrote a letter to Vice President Pence on January 5th of all days, telling the vice president not to honor the slate of electors from Wisconsin. That's outrageous. That's a crime in my book, and they need to be investigated for committing it.
Batman, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson had the debate the other night with Mandela Barnes, and I was hopeful our buddy Mandela would ask him, "Sir, have you considered getting good effing criminal defense counsel?" I mean, Ron Johnson may have criminal exposure here, and we don't know for sureties, but to say or imply, well, why would anyone subpoena me? Why would anyone want to know? Well, you've admitted publicly to, at minimum, being a fact witness, and the president's lawyer, and I'm curious which one, is it Rudy, reached out to Ron, and here's my conspiracy theory. I'm just going to lay it out for you, Batman. Remember, Trump wanted desperately to go to the Capitol, right? From the Ellipse. He gave the speech. He said, "I'll march down. We'll see you there." Well, they wouldn't let him. In fact, we've heard details in differing books, you know, trying to choke out a Secret Service guy for not taking the limo down. Well, did Trump want to deliver his own false, fraudulent Trump electors? And when they wouldn't let him personally deliver them, did he have a problem? He needed a bag man, and he had one of the lawyers, probably Rudy in my speculation, call willing accomplice Ron Johnson. But whether it was a second, a minute, or, you know, the now admitted hour-ish time frame, I mean, Ron Johnson's a witness at minimum, and, you know, a criminal at worst.
He was involved in this effort to overturn an election. There's got to be some accountability for that. We're going to be demanding accountability for it at Hawks on Thursday at noon. It's a public watch party. Come on down if you're here in Madison.
They do have food at Hawks at the one on State Street, so you could eat and party and watch the, you know, democracy in real time.
I'm having lunch there for sure.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a sneaky Pete guest. He is Batman from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Your group also out there encouraging people to get out and vote. It's 4 weeks from today,
man. 4 weeks from today. Everybody should go out and vote. Everyone should register to vote. You can go to myvote.wi.gov to see if you're registered, to see what you need to get registered. If you're not, the deadline for registering by mail or by email is October 19th. You can always go to your clerk's office and register there after that date. And you can register on November 8th, too, on Election Day here in Wisconsin, still until they change the law, which they may do if Republicans gain total control. But this November 8th, you can do it in person. Make sure you have the proper documentation for it. For those who are voting absentee, by the way, you got to make sure that the witness to your ballot, the witness to your vote, your friend or your spouse, is filling out that back of the envelope correctly. Make sure that they're filling out the whole address there, every line, so that some Republican objector isn't going to throw away your ballot that you voted correctly just because your witness may not have put down the street address. Or
don't have
like
Don be your witness, in other words.
Hey, Matt, I want to throw this out there as we're talking about Ron Johnson. Now, remember how the story went. He initially told Vicky McKenna that the question that came to him from the office of U.S. Rep. Mike Kelly, a Republican from Pennsylvania, but a Kelly spokesperson told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Ron Johnson's comments were patently false and that Kelly had not spoken to Johnson for the better part of a decade, has no knowledge of the claims that Mr. Johnson is making related to the 2020 election. This is from Madison.com. Now, that specific document, Matt, signed by 10 Republicans who convened in the state capitol on December 14th of 2020, was filled out on the same day the Democratic slate of Wisconsin electors met in the same building to deliver the state's 10 electoral votes to President-elect Joe Biden. The meeting of Republicans occurred after the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled that Biden won the election. And here's where the juice is. We need to get a document from the Wisconsin electors to you for the VP immediately. Former Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jim Troupas told Johnson at 11:36 a.m. on January 6th of 2021, according to text provided to conservative media outlets, Just the News, is there a staff person I can talk to immediately? Thanks, Jim T. So that attorney was Jim Troupas, Crudy.
You know who's appearing on the Vicky McKenna show a little bit earlier this afternoon? Why? Attorney Judge Jim Troupas.
I mean, Troupas needs to be investigated by Josh Call, too. I mean, are we going to have some accountability for this tremendous fraud against the citizens of Wisconsin who voted to elect Joe Biden as president to get our electoral college votes to Joe Biden? These guys were trying to subvert that process by fraudulently anointing themselves as the electors from the state of Wisconsin.
Well, and subverting the process is a really nice way to say, hey, the majority of voters, we don't want to abide by your vote. We just want to throw your vote out, and we want our guy to win. We want our candidate to win. I mean, it is beyond under. I cannot understand it, Matt. And I like Call, man, but don't put this on the feds. I mean, what if they decide not to follow through, man? I mean, you could do parallel investigations. I mean, this can be done. Now, I understand that, you know, maybe Call thinks he's got other things to do. But if democracy is truly on the ballot, Matt, don't you think Josh Call should be making some efforts to make sure that democracy still exists? And those that would seek to subvert it, if they're not going to be punished by the feds, then certainly the state of Wisconsin should come down like a hammer.
Absolutely, and that's what we're going to be calling for this Thursday at Hawks Bar and Grill, 325 State Street, from noon to 2. We're going to be telling anybody who comes in there who's there for the watch party to send an email to Josh Call and tell him to do his duty and investigate these false electors, investigate Ron Johnson, investigate Jim Troupas, investigate any Wisconsinite who was involved in this coup attempt. And also, if Josh Call doesn't want to do it, Ishozan can do it. Our DA here in Dane County, where the crimes were committed, he could do it too. Someone's got to hold these folks accountable, and it's time for our law enforcement officers to do that.
And if it is not them, it may have to be the devil's advocates.
It may have to be. I kind of feel like I'm being harmed if they're trying to subvert my vote. Of course I'm harmed by that.
You know, we have trial on October 17th, and the crime, air quotes, civil forfeiture crime we've been accused of is entering the locked Wisconsin state capitol during a pandemic circumstance. And we were there. And of course, I brought a devil tree, my First Amendment right to do so. I spent hours decorating that bad boy.
It was a fine effort, Michael.
But the Republicans were doing sort of a COVID Christmas carol. You know, they invited us all to go and attend, and we took them up on it. But unbeknownst to us, as we were, you know, fighting off the cop and who was it? Tim Ramjam Rantham Ramjam, that yep. tried to get us arrested on the spot. And, you know, I talked my way out of it, but we got mailed citations. But unbeknownst to us, Matt, all of the false Trump electors were in the building the very same week as us.
And how did they get in? They got in because Scott Fitzgerald let them in.
Well, we would like to know that, and we would like them to testify to how they entered the building and why they're treated disparately different under law, kind of like Trump always wanted to be. So we've subpoenaed all the false Trump electors, and hopefully we will have answers at trial on October 17th. Exclusive coverage right here on the Devil's Advocates radio show. Rantham, we may be the only ones that care, but we care a lot.
And more power to you. And Rampton was one of the 15 electors who signed that letter to Vice President Pence on January 5th, telling the yep. Vice President not to honor our slate. So, you know, there's got to be, I'm with you, Dom, there's just got to be accountability. I mean, I am furious that they tried to commit this fraud against me. And there are 1,360,000 Wisconsinites whose ballots yeah. they were trying to fraudulently throw into the garbage can.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dom's boy, Sherry Sortwell, Assembly Rep, Republican, he was also amongst the Christmas carolers and the 15 Wisconsin Republicans that sought to have Mike Pence, you know, set aside the outcome of the election and, you know, just do what he wanted. Maybe make it their choice. Do you see this is the newest before the U.S. Supreme Court? Whether the court should decide these sort of ballot issues or whether it should be, let's say, state legislatures, like the one controlled almost by a two-thirds gerrymandered advantage by Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. They'd be really fair, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they're trying to take our basic freedom to vote away or just to cancel our votes, and we can't let them get away with that.
Tell you what, Batman, stick around. I didn't know you were coming, but since you're here, we're going to make the most of it.
More use me up. Use me.
Oh, we're going to use you up. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Our good friend, he's Batman. He's Matt Rothschild. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And if nothing else, I want to talk to you about the obscene campaign spending happening all around us. I mean, there's like $250 million flowing through the state of Wisconsin right now. And even Civic Media is starting to get a few of those super PAC crumbs.
I heard about that.
Matt Rothschild, our fine guest. Come back, more Devils. Well, why buy those ads?
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you check us out on the social medias, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, on Twitter at Devil Radio, and go to the civicmedia.us website if you want to check out all the updated and new podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, I've got a fine guest, our good friend, Matt Rothschild. He's Batman. He is the vigilante of good governance. He is from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, executive director thereof. And Matt, part of your role is sort of be the watchdog of political spend. Now, there's a lot of that going on right now. I bet you've been staying busy, fella. But when we talk about political spend, there's the candidate money, as you and I were talking about during the break. And we here at Civic Media would be more than willing, as we're FCC regulated, on candidate money to offer them the lowest unit rate available, because they say we must, and to make a certain amount of airtime available to any qualified candidate. But when you start talking about things like super PACs that are out there crapping on the Democrats, I'm less convinced, and, you know, we'll get clarity from legal counsel, but I'm less convinced that we've got to carry that water, Matt. But lots of people are. There are lots of political campaign ads all across this state.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Communications Act of 1935 requires radio broadcasters and TV broadcasters to run ads by the candidates themselves, if the candidates have.
So if Ron Johnson wants to buy ads, I got to sell them.
Yeah, he can come back on. He's been away too long.
No, it's just right amount of time.
The prodigal Ron does not need to come home. But
if
The NRSC, let's say, the National Republican Senate Committee, that's Mitch McConnell's outfit.
Or Republican Governors Association, which is spending a ton of money on Michaels now, if they come knocking on your door.
They've already knocked.
All right, that's a question, though. And the question would, the one thing you'd have to figure out is, what yardstick are you using, other than I don't like these guys, to refuse their ads? And maybe I don't like these guys is enough, but you'd have to ask the lawyers, and I don't even play one.
Well, we don't like those guys, and we're going to find out if we can legally discriminate against them. But we'll find out. We'll clarify the point before we accept or deny.
Well, and that's the thing. And of course, we need to rely on qualified legal counsel to make those calls. But generally speaking, Matt, you know, there's an organization out there. If you're not under the umbrella of the FCC to follow the law from 1935. If these groups, they're supporting, these semi-fascist types. And I don't want to support. I don't want to hear ads, coming back from commercial to hear something that the insurrectionist bastards want to share with people.
Dom keeps asking me if we're going to accept money from Nazis.
Yeah, I know. No, and people did accept money from Nazis, Matt, and that was bad.
And as a listener, and I listen every day, I don't want to hear that ad on here either. So I hear where you're coming from. To me, it's just a question of, number one, can you legally refuse it? And number two, what's your consistency? What's your yardstick?
Well, call me a hypocrite if you must. But, Matt, I have been listening, and you know I'm a single-issue voter, man. I'm all in it for the political talk platforms. But I've been driving the state of Wisconsin. I've miled up my truck this summer listening and out there acquiring and driving for real estate and all different reasons, but mostly related to radio. And right-wing talk radio is filthy with political ads, but so is every country station, every rock and roll station, the Packers games, the Badgers games, and all those ads, Matt, near as I can tell, are coming from the right. Is that spin being tracked? Because when it's big numbers, when it's millions, and they're spending it on TV, it's easy to track. But when, the NRSC calls us and says, I want to drop 500 on that station and 500 on that station and 500 on that station, those numbers are a lot harder to quantify in real time. And I don't know if the Democrats know it, but cumulatively, they're getting their asses handed to them by the right expenditures on radio.
Well, I think Mandela Barnes knows it. I mean, those ads are the ones that took his numbers way down. I mean, so if it's an independent expenditure ad, if the advertiser is telling you vote for or vote against a specific candidate, we will know. They've got to register that amount with the state of Wisconsin. And at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, we track that. In fact, we just posted something about outside money in the governor's race. I mean, these outside groups are beating up Evers more than three to one in the money chase. And
most expensive gubernatorial race in the nation, and my understanding earlier, at least in the race, most expensive U.S. Senate race in the nation.
It's certainly one of them. I mean, and Evers himself has been able to raise just about as much money as Michaels this year anyway, but these outside groups are pummeling them. And that says nothing about the dark money groups, which are much harder to track because they don't use those magic words, vote for or vote against. They can just say, call Governor Evers and tell him to stop being such and such. And then they can, which is saying don't vote for Evers. But because of that ridiculous interpretation by the U.S. Supreme Court, they don't have to disclose their donors. They can throw mud at your screens and we'll never know who's paying for the mud.
Oh, we know, Matt. Matt Rothschild, Executive Director, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, just for a couple more minutes. Matt, the debate, we have one more debate coming up on Thursday between Barnes and Johnson. We only get one crack at it between Evers and Michaels. And we see these hardcore right-wingers that are just totally avoiding the debates whatsoever. Here in the state of Wisconsin, Brad Pfaff, the Democrat, can't get on stage with Van Orden. He doesn't want to come around. And even nationally, Mastriano running for office, also hiding and not wanting to debate. Matt, how important is it for these candidates to get out? And what does it tell you that these Republicans, these megas, are seemingly hiding more and more often?
They're chicken. And it's a disgusting slap in the face of the voting public that they're not going to come out behind their, out of their basement and or out of their little video recording studio where they're recording their ads and actually go toe-to-toe with their opponent and tell the people who are going to vote in their area, what they stand for. and whether they can represent and whether they can speak and whether they have an articulate vision. And if they're not doing that, they don't deserve your vote.
Well said. Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, if people want to support your organization, how can they do so?
Oh, bless your heart. Just go to WISDC for Democracy Campaign, wisdc.org.
That's not dark money. That's good money.
That's good money. And we will disclose it.
They're the vigilantes of good governance, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Our good friend, Batman Matt Rothschild, thanks for coming around, announced or otherwise. Always a fine guest. More Devil's Advocates. We'll come back. We'll open up the phone lines for you. 844-967-2789.
Thanks, Matt.
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a traveling Tuesday for yours truly, Dom. Ran all the way up the Minneapolis area and back. And, you know, we brought back some fine guests like Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area blog. And unexpectedly, Batman. But I knew he's out there. And I knew Batman was very excited about the January 6th coverage and the fact that people are going to collect and watch Democracy on the boob tube, Dom, and listen on the Civic Media app, I suspect. But noon at Hawks Bar on Thursday, when we go live, they'll be eating victuals and, you know, maybe having a couple of cold ones, a little day drinking going on in conjunction with the January 6th, you know, Democracy and cold beer on a Thursday afternoon. Does it get any better, Dom?
It sounds about perfect.
Dom, let's turn our attention to the Washington Post and the president, Joe Biden, and the Jennifer Rubin. I guess she's not the Jennifer Rubin, although she's the only one I know. Jennifer Rubin, columnist opinion, offers a three-part closing argument for the midterms on behalf of Joe Biden.
Are we there already? Is it time for the closing arguments with 28 days left?
Well, it's 4 weeks till the election, and if you need to continuously repeat your message, right, tell them, and then tell them what you told them, Joe, and then tell them again. Well, that takes time. That repetitious message takes time. So if you don't, you know, start looking at the beginning of the end, if you don't start making your closing statements, Dom, well, you know, the election could come and go, and you never really get to make a final great impression. So anyways, here's what Rubin thinks. President Biden has been an effective messenger for Democrats, contrary to the chin-stroking pundits and Republican flacks who warned he might be a weight around the necks of the party's candidates. His approval rating, particularly among Democrats, continues to improve. Moreover, whether warning that Republicans pose a threat to democracy, I like that dark Joe Biden, dark Brandon Joe Biden, right? Or that Democrats have made historic investments in infrastructure and green energy, Biden has the capacity to drive the news cycle. And he certainly has a knack of turning the midterm elections into a referendum on former President Donald Trump. If this is about Trump, the Republicans will lose. A little bit more from Rubin. With Election Day 4 weeks away and early voting well underway, Dom, the president can make critical three-point closing arguments to voters, according to Jennifer Rubin. Dom, what's the lead?
Number one from Rubin, the cons of GOP control. You can take that a couple of ways, I'm sure. Biden can spell out the chaos that awaits if Republicans win even one House of Congress or take key jobs responsible for running our elections. A GOP House can shut down the government, thereby suspending aid, for example, to Ukraine or funding for infrastructure or drug cost plans. They could force a default on the debt, impeach Biden, as they have threatened to do, or cabinet officials, and inevitably engage in mind-numbing, hyperbolic investigation. Worst of all, they can wreak havoc in counting the electoral votes in 2024. The Electoral Count Act reform has yet to pass, and even the best constructed changes will not prevent attempted coups. Congress can refuse to meet. Election-denying governors can refuse to certify electors, and secretaries of state can engage in conspiracy-driven voting subversion. Biden should not be shy in saying that our next presidential election might make 2020 look like a seamless transfer of power. This is not fear-mongering, writes Rubin. It is a reminder of what Republicans plan to do. And the country needs a reminder because the mainstream media remain intent on treating Republicans like a normal, responsible party, that we are dealing with a party that appears committed to doing substantial harm. A party that routinely threatens violence and denies election outcomes cannot be trusted with power.
I concur. Number two, Dom, I'll go next. Then maybe you can, you know, back cleanup as well. Essence of democracy. Biden can remind voters that the essence of democracy is respect for fellow citizens and devotion to the common good. As the NAACP has done, the president can denounce Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican from Alabama's remarks that black people are criminals as flat-out racist, ignorant, and utterly sickening, as well as condemn the party that promotes a centuries-old lie about black people. For goodness sake, Rubin writes, what kind of people are we? If we want a decent, competent, and law-abiding country, we need to elect decent, competent, and law-abiding representatives. Biden is well situated, perhaps the politician best situated, to make a plea that we elect politicians who represent the best, not the worst we can be. If the GOP thinks the best we can do is the likes of Herschel Walker and Doug Mastriano, Democrats can seize the high ground on family values and character.
You know, I mean, these guys have been lying about
haven't we had it all along?
Character all along, man. It's been a joke. I mean, I can't. It took Trump to tear the facade down.
Ruben and aren't we also, Dom, the real patriots?
Yes.
Like you
yes,
and I.
We are.
Especially.
Yes, without question. Much more so than a guy like Van Orden.
Or CJ.
As Biden writes, national security, Biden as commander-in-chief can make a powerful argument that Republicans time and again have put national security in jeopardy. A party that praises Russian dictator Vladimir Putin, calls for a war on the FBI, excuses the snatching of sensitive documents, and refuses to investigate an armed insurrection cannot be put in charge of intelligence committees, Pentagon funding, or any other aspect of national security. This is the most critical midterm in our history, and arguably the most critical election ever. Biden can effectively link arms with Rep. Liz Cheney to make the case that you cannot give people who threaten democracy, not to mention sane governance, the reins of power. Come to think of it, maybe they should cut some ads together, writes Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post. I think these are great points. They're easily understandable. And I think it's not just the closing message argument for Biden. I think it's a closing argument for many of these Democratic candidates. I know we talked a bit about Mandela going after Ron Johnson during their debate on his insurrectionist bastardness. And I think there's lots of opportunity for Democrats to do the same with lots of these election-denying Republicans.
If Republicans win the House, Kevin McCarthy, question mark, will be the Speaker of the House? I can't see it, Dom. I really can't. But, you know, there is a little opinion about Kevin McCarthy as well. You know, remember Kevin McCarthy was sort of the target of the January 6th, and he took great umbrage at the time. You know, they were trying to effing kill him. But, you know, he's changed a little, Dom, because he can sense power. And they think they got a red wave of brewing. At least on the House side, you know, between the gerrymander and, you know, a few fortunate hops, they think they're going to win the House for sure-sies. And Kevin McCarthy wants nothing more in this life than to be Speaker of the House. But Kevin McCarthy's rage at Trump over the January 6th may signal danger ahead. Oh, no. Danger, Will Robinson. Dom, is a mob rampaged the Capitol to overturn Donald Trump's presidential re-election loss, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is said to have screamed on the phone at Trump, "They're trying to effing kill me." A few weeks later, when details about the California Republicans' fears on January 6th went public, McCarthy reportedly redirected his fury away from Trump and towards another GOP lawmaker who dared to tell the truth about his phone call with Trump. These revelations, courtesy of two new books about Trump and the GOP, illustrate in fresh detail, Dom, the craven depths McCarthy plumbed to protect Trump from accountability related to the January 6th after initially being horrified by Trump's role in the insurrection. Now, if a guy, I'm just deciding here, Dom, but if a guy, let's say Dom, directed a crowd of thousands to try and F and kill me.
Hang Mike Crute. Hang Mike
Crute. I would have a hard time getting over that. You know, moving on for the sake of political ambition.
See, that's because you're not in a cult. See, if you're in a cult, right, and you think I'm a billionaire and I'm your leader, you will kiss my ass in due course.
Dominic, here is the question Greg Sargent raises. This also raises a forward-looking question. What is a man who literally feared that a Trump-incited mob would kill him, then spent the next 20 months engaged in a cover-up on Trump's behalf, capable of doing for Trump should he become House Speaker?
Right. And you could say that for every Republican.
Dominic McCarthy's call with Trump is detailed in journalist Robert Draper's new account of the radicalization of the GOP. It had already been reported that McCarthy pleaded with Trump to calm the rioters, to which Trump replied, "I guess these people are more upset about the election than you are." In Draper's new account, we learn McCarthy feared his life was about to come to a violent end. After Trump snarled at McCarthy, "Should be more upset this happened." "More upset," McCarthy yelled back incredulously, according to an account he gave a few hours later to a Republican colleague. "They're trying to effing kill me." You know, because you don't love them enough. After McCarthy's security detail removed him, Draper reports, another Republican lawmaker remained behind, hiding crouched on a toilet while rioters tore through McCarthy's suite. Bet it was Matt Gaetz, but anyways. Despite all this, McCarthy quickly pivoted to helping Trump obfuscate about the run-up to what happened that day. Dominic, the second book by Post reporter Karum Dirahan and Politico's Rachel Bade reports that after Rep. Jamie Herrera Butler, Republican from Washington, revealed some details about the McCarthy-Trump screaming match, McCarthy raged at her over it. Here's one last quote I'll give them. "I alone am taking all the heat to protect people from Trump. I alone am holding the party together," he yelled at Rep. Jamie Herrera Butler during a previously undisclosed meeting at McCarthy's office, February 25th, 2021. "I've been working with Trump to keep him from going after Republicans like you and blowing up the party and destroying all our work."
Curdy, though they're both denying the account, note McCarthy's fear that if Republicans publicly told the truth about Trump's January 6th related conduct, it would provoke retaliation from Trump for fracturing the party. This book is clear on that point, reporting that McCarthy's tirade launched what would become a GOP-wide campaign to whitewash what happens. I would just say, look at Ron Johnson. That whitewash included opposing a bipartisan commission to examine January 6th, trying to install Trumpist saboteurs on the House Select Committee that Democrats subsequently created, and refusing to testify to it himself. What's now clearer than ever is that McCarthy saw helping with Trump's insurrection cover-up, which itself is arguably an extraordinary betrayal to the country, as essential to keeping the GOP united and on a path to win the House majority. Rep. Jimmy Raskin, a member of the January 6th committee, says this new reporting strengthens the case that Trump sought to use mob violence to obstruct the official proceeding of counting the presidential electors, a potential crime, by impeding the lawmakers themselves. This is a meaningful corroboration detail in the already abundant evidence that Trump set about to interfere with this crucial federal proceeding, the peaceful transfer of power, noting that it underscores McCarthy's complicity in helping Trump cover up for the dangerous violence that he unleashed. Now imagine McCarthy as Speaker of the House, someone capable of going to such extreme lengths for Trump in order to continue, quote unquote, holding the party together, would probably be willing to maximally employ the power of the House to harass or defund investigations or even prosecutions of Trump, as Trump is already demanding. Some House Republicans are already floating ways a new majority could target investigations or prosecutions. Government shutdowns or debt ceiling breaches could be marshaled towards that end. If Trump is running for president in 2023 while investigations continue, impairing them would be even more imperative for McCarthy's goal of holding the party together. A House Speaker willing to go to extreme lengths for Trump would also be in a position to help Trump or an imitator steal the 2024 election. If the Electoral Count Act of 1887 is not revised, and a democracy-sabotaging GOP governor could certify fake electors in a swing state, do you doubt that McCarthy's House would vote to count those sham electors, creating chaos or worse? Trump was happy to put McCarthy's life in danger, but McCarthy still quickly scrambled to kiss Trump's ass, as Trump likes to put it, Raskin told me. He added that the GOP has become a dangerous cult of personality, filled with toadies, sycophants, and liars. They are the threat to constitutional democracy. The new McCarthy revelations are not merely about filling in the historical record. They're a clear warning of the future dangers our democracy faces, an opinion piece by Greg Sargent in the Washington Post.
Dom, we're here to make that warning all across the state of Wisconsin. And you can be a part. You can warn people. I can warn you. CJ's in the queue. If you don't get there, he might be next at 844-967-2789.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Before we get to the phones, Curdy, I want to throw this one last one out there. The debate yesterday, Tim Ryan lit up Vance. And I want to read just a little bit from the Post. I
think Ohio Senate race.
Yes, I think this is something that the Republicans or the Democrats should be putting onto the Republicans at every debate, at every opportunity. Just a couple paragraphs. Contrary to Republican claims that Democrats are soft on crime, Ryan skewered Vance for promoting the legal defense fund for insurrectionists who assaulted police at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. So Ryan's debating Vance. Vance was promoting the legal defense fund, you know, for the insurrectionist bastards. Here's what Ryan had to say. Can you imagine one guy saying out of one side of his mouth he's pro-cop, and out of the other side of his mouth he's raising money for the insurrectionists who are beating up the Capitol Police, Ryan declared. Ryan not only tied Vance to Trump, but also to the entire loony band that now dominates the GOP. You're running around with Lindsey Graham, who wants a national abortion ban. You're running around with Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is the absolute looniest politician in America. This is a dangerous group. I think the Dems, as part of the closing message, if you believe, and I do, that democracy is literally on the ballot, that, and I've had friends of mine that are, you know, independent, not really pay attention, sometimes Republicans, sometimes Dem, we all have friends like that, you know, coming up to me like, wow, you know, really, what do you think? Because some people are just now, 4 weeks out, starting to pay attention. So
undecided voters.
What do you do? And it's very simple. You go Dem. You know, none of the other things matter. You know, tax rates don't matter when you're living under a fascist fist. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not going to pay anything anyway. They're going to come take what they want from you. Fascism will kill democracy. This is not about what the marginal income tax rate should be. You know what I'm saying? This is about whether or not elections matter. Or if the losing side just can put enough people in the street to beat and intimidate everyone else to going their way.
Just for the records, Tom, the marginal tax rate should be significantly higher, to my opinion. Yeah, we can talk policy. 844-967-2789. Drew from Marshall. Welcome, Drew. What do you got for us?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, I think your advertising situation is a no-brainer for me. You know every commercial that's going to be broadcast on your stations, so for everyone, you're an opinion station, right? So
yes, sir.
Everyone that pops up, you have a little script for your people to read. Take the money and get that ink. Wait till it's dry. Take the money and run. Sell all the ads you want. And then as soon as they get done, you have a little thing to read that disavows everything in the previous 30 seconds. So there you go.
You know, I've often scratched my head, Drew, when I hear Democrats advertising on right-wing talk radio, you know, trying to find the center or persuadable voters, whatever their logic. And then I hear the host come back immediately after the commercial break and crap all over the messages supporting the Democrats, right? And I do, yeah. I have taken the thought process, Drew. Well, couldn't that be us? Couldn't we just choose to crap all over the political messaging going against our favorites? But here's the problem, Drew.
Oh.
It's not just the news talk stations. It's the country stations. And those stations, you know, I mean, dude, I don't know if you watched or listened to the Packer game or the Badger game or try to turn on, you know, just music on the radio. That is where they are inundating our audience as well. And the frustration I have, Drew, is on a country stick, you know, Hank Williams Jr. ain't going to respond to them with the truth. He's just going to sing his song.
Okay. So on those things, you have like a 10-minute, a 10-second rebut from the people. Right. Let them do it for you.
You know, I like how you think, Drew. Now, man, our audience is creative, like aren't they?
Yes, yes, they certainly are. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate
beautiful
call,
Marshall,
man.
Wisconsin. 844.
There's a tear in my beer.
967-2789. Before we get to any other callers in queue, Dom, I want to, I got one last story for the day. Brett Favre, the former Hall of Fame quarterback of the Packers.
Yes.
Claims he's been smeared by the media over welfare allegations. Smeared by the media. Fake news! Here is what is being reported over at the Daily Beast. NFL star Brett Favre is now claiming he's being smeared after allegations emerged of his involvement in a federal welfare scandal that pulled $77 million from impoverished Mississippians, instead putting the funds in the coffers of public officials and their pet projects. Here's what Favre said. I've been unjustly smeared in the media. I've done nothing wrong. It's past time to set the record straight. Now, text messages reportedly show that in August of 17, the former NFL player asked nonprofit director Nancy New outright, if you were to pay me, is there anything the media could find out where it came from and how much? New pleaded guilty to bribery and fraud charges in April. Favre, who was accused of lobbying for some of the funds to go towards a University of Southern Miss volleyball stadium, you know, where his daughter plays volleyball, faces no criminal charges. I'm going to throw a little three-letter word in there. Yet. No one ever told me, and I did not know that the funds designated for welfare recipients were going to the university or me. Now, he took $1.1 million in no-show jobs for motivational speeches, Dom.
I'm a motivational speaker.
Wait, where do you think Favre went to cry fake news?
At a van down by the river?
Fox News Digital.
Of course.
Final quote from Favre. My goal was and always will be to improve the athletic facilities at my university. Student for the student athletes, Dom. 844-967-2789 against my better judgment. CJ, you get the last word. What is it?
Hey, CJ.
Oh, boy. Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. The only, your tirade, Dom. You forgot one thing.
We're What's
living
that?
In a democratic world right now. Your party controls everything, and it's a disaster. So I got a couple questions, though, if I could. What police organizations are supporting the backtracking, defunding candidate that you guys...
I bet the U.S. Capitol Police would support Mandela Barnes over Ron Johnson, let's say, CJ.
I bet they...
And you say backtracking, CJ, but Ron Johnson admitted during the debate that Mandela Barnes never called for defunding the police.
You know, but, you know, you forgot to mention today the John Durham trial started.
Oh, what a joke! Really, CJ, you're hanging your hat on the Durham investigation at this late hour, dude?
Your party. Yep, and on January 6th, I guess inflation numbers come out, so... trying to distract from that disaster, too, and the Armageddon.
Armageddon? I don't even know what the hell you're talking about, CJ, but thanks for playing. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates. Thank you, Dan Schaefer. Thank you, Batman. Stick around. Native Roots Radio and no outplay music.